Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Big weekend in college football that starts tomorrow with the Pac-12 championship game. Oregon and Utah. It is conference championship weekend across the country, and then on Sunday we will find out who is making the college football playoff. And joining us now to talk about all of it is our good friend Kyle Bonagura. We've had him on the show many times. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Bonagura ESPN, reporter for ESPN. Kyle, thanks so much for the time, man. Just looking ahead to this weekend and all the big time matchups, kind of a broad question to start with, but what are you most looking forward to in conference championship weekend?
Yeah, I think there's two games that I'll really have my eye on this weekend. And that starts tomorrow with the Pac-12 title game and then the day after in the Big 12. I think because those are the two games that I think have the most significant implications on who will end up in the playoff. I think if Utah takes care of business and plays well against Oregon, I think the expectation here for sure is that Utah should get in the playoff regardless of how Oklahoma plays. Mm. Of course, that takes into account assuming that LSU beats Georgia and Georgia falls out of the top four. So that's kind of where I'll have my eyes, starting tomorrow. And I'm really looking forward to a big weekend ahead.
Well, and I saw you tweeting about this when the rankings came out. And I agree with you that it was really big that Utah remained ahead of Oklahoma, because Oklahoma, I thought, actually looked pretty good against Oklahoma State on the road, ranked team, and they got that win. And Utah was just playing Colorado, who's not going to a bowl game this year. I do have, though, just from a Pac-12 angle, I do have a fear about the Big 12 jumping Utah. And I'm curious your thoughts on that, because you mentioned those are the two real big games that you got to keep your eye on this weekend. If we're in the case of Utah beating Oregon, let's say, by a touchdown, and it's kind of a back-and-forth game, and then Oklahoma comes out and wins that game by two touchdowns or more against a higher-ranked team and a one-loss team in the Big 12 championship, where do you put the chances at a Big 12 champ jumping a one-loss Utah conference champ?
Yeah, I think that's certainly on the table, right? And it's Utah's where it's at in the rankings because the committee has been very impressed with how they've looked in their games. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really no other way to look at it because they don't have a win against a ranked opponent right now. Oklahoma has two wins over ranked opponents, yet the committee still has Utah ahead, right? So that, to me, is a clear indication that they've liked how Utah has looked in these games, just dominating teams all season. Since they lost at USC early in the year, they've won by an average of 29 points a game. The only close game in that stretch was at Washington, a road game against it's not a great UW team this year, but, it's still a Chris Peterson coach team and still is one of the better teams in the conference. So, I certainly think it's a valid theory that if Utah doesn't impress and maybe they squeak by, turn the ball over and still win, and Oklahoma really looks impressive against Baylor, who is with the committee's number 7 ranked team. I mean, I certainly think it's possible that Oklahoma jumps Utah, but I think for kind of what the reason that I kind of just outlined, I do feel pretty strongly that Utah should be in pretty good shape, assuming they play well and if there's a comparable result to what happens in the Big 12 title.
Yeah, we're talking with Kyle Bonagura. Bonagura ESPN on Twitter. Go give him a follow. College football writer for ESPN.com. And looking at the SEC title game, because you alluded to it, that's the funny part about all this, is if Georgia wins, none of this matters because Georgia's going to make the playoff and nobody believes that LSU will drop out. I'm curious what you think the reaction to that would be nationally, because we've had this before where two SEC teams have made it and Alabama went on to win the championship that year despite not winning their conference. This one would be slightly different because at least LSU made the conference championship game. But what do you think the ripple effect would be if Georgia is to win that game? And then let's say Utah and Oklahoma both look good this weekend, and you could have 2 1-loss Power Five conference championship teams on the outside looking into the college football playoff.
For me, it just reinforces the idea that there should be an 8-team playoff. And I do like the 4-team. I think it certainly is a suitable setup to find the best team in the country. I think it's going to be rare that the best team in the country isn't among the top four and gets a shot. But at the same time, you know, if there's not really access for teams outside of the South and the football hotbeds of the country, it does have a negative effect on football in the rest of the country. And I don't think that's good for the sport as a whole. I think it really downplays the importance of a conference title in places like the Pac-12. And if, you know, that scenario were to play out, the Big 12 as well. There's already been, you know, several examples of both conferences not getting in. The Big 10's got left out, I believe, mm-hmm. twice as well. So, I mean, I understand the idea about preserving the importance of the regular season and all of that, and that's fine. Like, it's certainly one way to look at it. But I do think that the 4-team playoff does make it a more regional sport. And as someone who has watched college football my whole life on the West Coast and spends a lot of time with Pac-12 football, I just don't like the ramifications it's had on where football kind of, you know, where West Coast football really stacks up in the hierarchy of the sport as a whole.
Yeah, I agree with you there, especially with the way Utah's looked this year. I mean, they, as you mentioned, all the metrics, the defensive numbers, the way they're blowing people out. I don't know what else you need to do to deserve a spot in the college football playoff outside of what they've done. And looking at that game, too, tomorrow night against Oregon, I'm curious, you mentioned being on the West Coast and watching a lot of Pac-12 football. Just your thoughts on Oregon. It's kind of been a weird year where some people – I mean, look at it, 10-2, they won the North, and they got a chance to win the conference against Utah. And by all metrics, that should be a pretty good season that the fan base is supportive of. But then you just have a lot of segment of people that look at it and you say, man, they really stubbed their toe late, losing to ASU. They didn't look good in the Civil War. They've had moments just offensively where it just hasn't quite clicked. How do you grade Oregon's season this year going into a chance to win the conference title tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be, if you're an Oregon fan and you're not happy with the team, with how the team played this year, man, you have really, really high expectations and maybe unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that Oregon is sitting here at 10-2 with one loss in the conference, their only loss out of conference was a tough game against a good team. If that's not good enough, that just doesn't seem like a very fun way to watch the sport, right? If you can't enjoy a 10-2 season with a trip to to play for the conference title, man, that's just a tough way to watch the sport. I mean, there are so many other fan bases around the country that would love to have the type of year that Oregon's having. So I would just say, let's just have more fun with these things, yeah. Right? Because there's certainly ways to nitpick the way they play offensively at times and those things. But, you know, at the end of the day, 10-2 is 10-2, and you got to – and if you're unhappy with that, that's just tough.
Yeah, those are pretty high expectations. That's a tough bar to meet. We're talking with Kyle Bonagura of ESPN, at Bonagura ESPN on Twitter. Go give him a follow. I will ask him, in the other bombshell we had this weekend in the Pac-12 – or this week, I should say, in the Pac-12 – the Chris Peterson news. I mean, we're coming in, doing the show on Monday, getting all ready to talk about the Civil War and start to preview the Pac-12 championship game. And then, like, boom, right before we go on the air, that news breaks. What's your reaction to Chris Peterson stepping down, and what do you think's next for UW?
I mean, the first reaction was just shocked, right? I mean, I was of a place where I was expecting Chris Peterson to kind of ride out his career there and be there for, you know, another decade. I mean, I guess in hindsight, it's easy to understand wanting to step away for all the reasons he outlined during his press conference on Tuesday. I mean, the burnout for someone with such a demanding job is certainly easy to understand. And I do think that he'll probably take some time away and get back into coaching at some point. I think the operative word in the original release announcing his decision was recharge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's certainly an indication that he just needed some time to enjoy the, you know, other parts of life and get back to a place where he could start enjoying coaching again. Because what he mentioned on Tuesday was that, you know, he realized a couple months after the Rose Bowl that he didn't enjoy that experience. And as a West Coast guy himself, you dream about going to a Rose Bowl one day and he's there and not able to enjoy it. I think it's understand that methodology with wanting to step away.
Yeah, and how do you think Jimmy Lake's going to do there? I mean, it's a big-time program, and they've had a lot of success over the last couple of years. But I mean, there's always somewhat of a fear when you're promoting somebody who hasn't been a head coach yet. What do you make of the decision to promote Jimmy Lake?
So everything I've heard about Jimmy over the last couple of years has all been very positive. Mm-hmm. It certainly has developed a reputation as one of the top upcoming assistants in college football. And I think that when you do have a program that's in a good spot, like Washington is, it certainly makes sense to transition to a coordinator to kind of keep the status quo and kind of build off what's already been in place. I mean, we've seen within the conference a couple of examples of how it's worked and how maybe it hasn't worked as well, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Stanford transitioning from Jim Harbaugh to David Shaw has led to one of the most successful stretches the program has ever seen. Oregon, had some success right away after Chip Kelly left, right. And Helfrich was installed. Obviously, it turned there after a couple of years, but you did play for a national title there. So there's, I think it makes sense to move in the direction they did as opposed to starting over and kind of just see how it works out.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Kyle Bonagura of ESPN. Give him a follow on Twitter at Bonagura ESPN. A colleague of yours at the ESPN network said, "Who wants to see Utah in the college football playoff?" Nobody wants to see that. I will ask you on that note. Where do you give? And this is a hypothetical, obviously, because we've been over. Georgia's got to lose, and Utah's got to win, and you hope they win convincingly, and Oklahoma doesn't just win by 50 points over Baylor. But if Utah is to get in to the college football playoff, where do you put their chances? Likely against Ohio State, maybe LSU, depending on how the weekend goes. But where do you put their chances against the elite team in the country?
I think I would go into any of those possible scenarios for Utah, not expecting them to win, but not being in a place where I would dismiss the possibility out of hand, right? I think the other teams have been more impressive this year. Utah is certainly right there. I think Utah is certainly deserving for many reasons, but I do think they will go in deservedly as the underdog.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to look too far back to see a similar scenario with Utah. I mean, in 2009, Kyle Whittingham was the head coach. They were playing in the Mountain West at the time, I believe. And there, where you're not able to have access to the same type of talent, they go to the Sugar Bowl as the number six ranked team and beat number four ranked Alabama and Nick Saban. So, history repeats itself, and so it would be silly to go into a game saying Utah can't compete or can't win, because look, right. We don't have to look that far back to see that a very similar situation proves that this exact program can beat a program from the SEC. So yeah. I'll go in very interested to see what happens. I think it would be a huge opportunity not only for Utah but for the Pac-12 to show that its teams at the top of the conference can compete at that level. So yeah. I hope it happens, just because I'd be interested in that matchup more than the others, just basic, just for being on the West Coast, right?
Right, right. Just getting the conference back in, there's no doubt. Yeah, college football feels like the only sport where we look at it at this point of the year and we act like upsets will never happen. Like, I don't stand a chance. Like, oh, okay, I didn't know the favorites always win in college football. I'll get you out on this one. A big weekend, starting tomorrow night with the Pac-12 championship game. It's all day Saturday, and then we'll find out on Sunday. Just looking into your crystal ball of how you think it's going to play out. Obviously, it depends on the SEC title game and the other ones as well. But who do you think, when we're waking up Sunday morning and turning our TV on, who do you think the four teams are that make the playoff?
So I think they'll be Ohio State at one, LSU two, Clemson three, and I do think that Utah will end up in that four spot.
Okay. There you go. Well, it's going to be a fun weekend, conference championship weekend. All starts tomorrow right here on The Fan with the Pac-12 title game. Kyle Bonagura of ESPN. Love having him on. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN. I know it's a busy week for you. Enjoy the conference championship weekend, man, and we'll have to catch up again soon.
Absolutely, anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.